This is the Puppy Training Podcast, episode 106, Sample Q&A. This podcast is designed to help you on your journey of becoming best friends through love and learning as you train your own dog from home. And I'm here to help you every step of the way. This is the Puppy Training Podcast, and I'm your host, Amy Jensen. Hey, how's your week going, everybody? Welcome back to the Puppy Training Podcast. I thought today I would share some clips from a recent Q&A session that I did. My trainers and I do Q&As 3 times a week. So if you're a member of our online puppy school, you can come to these. They're all included. We do them on Tuesday nights, Thursday afternoons, and Saturday mornings. So enjoy a little clip from our most recent Q&A session. All right. Hi, you guys. Welcome. It's our Thursday afternoon Q&A session. So if you are new, this is how it works. It is a webinar format, so I can't see or hear you. I can see your names, so I know who's here. And I have your emails. If you sent me an email question when you signed up for the call, I have that. And I'm going to answer those first. So after the emails are over, I'll go down to the Q&A box. So at the bottom of your computer screen, you'll see a Q&A button. Any puppy question you want to talk about, type it in that Q&A box and I'll get to there as soon as the emails are done. Sounds good? Okay, Amy, hello. You have an English Golden Doodle 11 weeks. Will puppy always need a tight fit crate or will they be able to have extra space in their bedroom once they're potty trained? Great question. Once they're potty trained, you can give them a great big crate. So you can actually see this one back here that we use for Baxter. He can fit in half of that, but I give him this nice big one because then he can lay down, stretch his legs out, roll over. And he's fine in there. He really likes it. So yeah, just the tight fit is we don't want it to be too tight. Like I want that puppy, your 11 week old puppy, to be able to sit up and not have to like duck their head or, you know, I don't want them to be cramped, but I want it to be small enough that they seriously second guess going in there. There's not a lot of space to go in this corner and lay in this corner. They cover all the corners. So we don't want it to be uncomfortable, but we want it to be tight. And then as soon as they're potty trained, yeah, you can upgrade to their regular sized crate. So it's just those first few weeks, maybe the first month or so, that they're in a pretty tight crate, and then you can expand it. Okay, let's see next. Barbara, good afternoon. I almost said good morning. So mini Bernie Doodle, born in April, how to stop biting, barking, and whining. Okay, this is like the big question, right? How do I just stop it? How do I make it go away? So not to burst anyone's bubble or make you disappointed or what's the word? I don't know. Yeah, disappointed maybe. So we're not going to stop biting, barking, and whining, but we can definitely help our puppy make better decisions. Okay, so instead of thinking about like, I'm going to tell my puppy to do something and they're never going to do it again, it's not really realistic, right? Because they're not a robot. I can't just push a button and they stop biting, barking, and whining. But I can help my puppy see that there's better behaviors, right? This behavior gets rewarded. This one doesn't. This one gets you what you want. This one doesn't. Okay. So the biting, especially at the age that your Bernie Doodle is, the biting, they need to just constantly move their mouths because they're learning about the world. They're strengthening their jaws. And so there's a lot of biting and they're getting teeth and then they're losing teeth and then they're getting an adult set of teeth. So a lot of change is happening in that mouth and they just need to gnaw on something. So rather than looking at it like I want them to stop doing this, let's just make sure we redirect it onto something appropriate. And that's just going to be a daily thing, right? So there's going to be times of the day when your puppy's great and they'll sit by you without, maybe sometimes even if they sit by you, they still want to gnaw on something. So you just hold a bone in their mouth, right? Like a pacifier for a baby almost. And then there's going to be times of the day when they're really worked up and more bitey and they can be in their pen with their toys. So they can't do that to you, but they can bite their toys if needed. Okay. Barking and whining. It depends on what they're barking and whining for. If it's a brand new puppy, like born in April. So yeah, just brand new, probably they are barking and whining most likely in a pen or a crate to say, hey, I've never been alone before. I'm not too sure about this. So we show you, Barbara, in our first week together, I want you to go to that module today and click on introducing the crate. And we help you do some activities that gets the puppy to see the crate and being alone as not so bad. So that's just, you know, recognize that they're not just barking and whining to annoy you. Like there's a reason, right? There's something that they're feeling that's behind it. And not that we want to, okay, you bark and you get whatever you want. I'm not saying that. Okay. But we definitely can help them ease into being alone in a crate because they've never been there. So there's a lot of barking and whining around that. Okay. So check out that first week together module for more tips on helping them like the crate. And you'll see as you do that, the barking and whining disappears, right? As you help them learn how to be alone, as you help them feel comfortable being alone, the barking and whining stops because they were barking and whining most likely to say, hey, I don't want to be alone. I'm not too sure about this. Okay. Now barking and whining, feel free to set up a call with my trainers because we want to look at what happened before they barked and then what happened right after they barked to assess what is your dog's motivation behind the barking. There's lots of different types of barking. And I would handle, say, my dog barking out a window at the mailman very differently than I would handle barking if they're in a crate or a pen wanting attention. Does that make sense? Okay. David is next. How to get, you have a schnoodle who's 5 months old. How to get my puppy to stop biting on my arm so much that she punctures the skin? Okay. So at 5 months, for sure, we want the biting to stop, like no more biting of people. Right? They've just got to learn that that doesn't work. So I think a great activity for you would be to tether your puppy. Let me just show you guys really quickly a really fast way to tether a dog. I always, always supervise my dogs if they're on a tether. Okay. But you can just use a regular leash and you're just going to take this handle part of it. You're going to hook it on the inside of the doorknob or outside of the doorknob and shut the door. Now you have a really easy way to tether your puppy. So let's say your puppy's here. Okay. I can now play with them. So I can get out a toy, something like this that I can make really exciting. Okay. And it's long enough that my puppy can grab it and I can grab it and I can play with them, or I can even sit here by them and pet them or do whatever I want to do. If they start to go for me, I'm out. I walk away. Right. And I'll wait until I see a downshift in behavior, meaning I want my dog to sit or lay down and calm themselves before I go back to them. So I can't really tell you how long that will take. That will depend on your individual puppy, but tethering them allows you to interact with them. But the second they go for your skin, you walk away. And then they learn, oh, well, that doesn't work if I'm wanting to play with him, right? Which I'm assuming is your schnoodle's motivation, is that she's liking that attention or they're liking that attention. If, there could be, I mean, that is what we have to look at, is why is she doing it? If she's doing it to get you to leave, then can you see how that would not work? So it is important to assess, why is she biting my hand? Why is she mouthing me? If she's doing it to play with you, that works. Walk away. And just be super consistent. Anytime like she's playing with a toy and then she leaves to go for your skin, walk away. And see if that will decrease the behavior. Then we know that we got it right. Right. So it's kind of like a puzzle, the ABCs of dog training, right? We look at what happens right before, like, what is my dog wanting? Are they wanting my attention? Are they wanting me to go away? Because then what I do after the behavior is going to change, right? If they want me to go away and then they bite me on the hand, on my skin, and I leave, then they got what they wanted. So they'll probably do that again. But if they want me to stay and play with them while they're doing this and I leave, then that's an effective consequence. Does that make sense? Okay. So make sure you guys, when we make a plan, that you first understand or try to figure out why my dog's doing something. And maybe you get it wrong, right? Maybe you think she's doing this for attention and you start walking away and this sticks around. It doesn't go away, right? Now it's not going to go away in one session or one repetition, right? But if you're consistent about it and you start to see a week down the road that the behavior is not changing, then we probably have the motivation wrong. And let's go back and reassess why they're doing it and then change up what happens after they do it. Okay. A lot of behavior can be prevented. So if your dog is mouthy, just always having a toy in hand, always having something to insert into their mouth instead of your skin is helpful, giving them a job to do. So if you know, David, that your puppy is kind of energetic or they want to play with you, but maybe you can't play right now. Maybe you're in the kitchen, right? Making dinner or something. You can ask your dog to go to bed. So you can cue them a job to do, say, you know, give them something to focus on besides coming and mouthing you. So I love that side of training. If I can prevent my dog from doing a behavior, awesome, right? Now we're not having any habits that are forming that I don't like. If they never start doing this behavior, that'll never become a habit. So I like to prevent things if I can. Okay.
All right, you guys, that gives you a little taste of what our Q&As are like. Super fun times. We get together, talk about puppies and any questions you guys have for an entire hour. And we do it several times a week. So feel free to join us inside our online puppy school for our Q&A sessions. Have a great rest of your week. Happy training. If you have a question about anything you heard on this podcast or any other puppy training question, visit my site, BaxterandBella.com, to contact me.